In case you don't know me, if I get loud, just turn it down. If I get loud, because I might get loud, you never can tell. I'm Harry L. Scriven, Jr., named after my earthly father. But I'm glad I have a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. It's my name. Tonight, I'm going to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to be talking tonight about sharing your faith or sharing our faith or sharing my faith. I noticed that word when I say sharing your faith. If you take the Y off, it's our faith. So God wants us to share our faith. And we have no excuse, those of us who have been born again, those of us who are in Christ, we have no excuse whatsoever to not share the love of God with someone. He has done everything, put it this way, he's done everything for me, and I'm hope, again, if you're born again, that he's done everything for you. But he didn't take us out. He didn't take us out when he saved us. He left us here for a reason. It's amazed me that he chooses you and I, to finish the work that Christ started. Amen. He started the work, and he used you and I. But before I go into that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do come before you, thanking you again, Father, for this time. That you allow me to stand here and open my mouth and speak. Father, I just pray that you hide me behind your cross. I don't want the folks to hear me this afternoon, Lord. I pray that they will hear God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, we be obedient to what our Father says, what our Lord and Savior says, and what the Holy Spirit is saying as well. Thank you, Father, once again for this opportunity. Bless the hearers, Father. But before we leave here, we know that, Father, hearers of the word is good, but more important than that, doing the word of God, it's a blessing. For I say and ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. This verse of scripture, I'm going to a lot of scripture, and you see I got my Bible. I like using my Bible. So we're going to be turning to the scripture. We're only going to put up one, two, maybe three scriptures. So we're going to be turning to the scriptures and reading the scriptures. For the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not in word only, but in also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what man of men we were among you for your sake. You can put up Matthew now. The word of God came to us in much, much power. Much power. When the word of God was preached to me, it seemed like it was just preached to me as Pastor spoke that Sunday morning. He preached on hell. He mentioned heaven, but the message was on hell. And I was lost at the time. And I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I heard some things about him from my wife. I heard some things about him. Every once in a while, you turn the TV on and you hear some things. But I went to church. I don't know how long my wife was trying to get me to come to church. Our next door neighbor was getting me to come to church. The pastor, he was come by the house. Pastor Simpson, who's my father, my spiritual father, getting me to come to church. And you know, tomorrow, the next day, you know, next Sunday, not this Sunday, but I'll come next Sunday. And I don't know what happened, but I decided to go with my wife and our four kids. My wife takes the kids when she goes to church, which is a blessing. You should bring your kids when you come to church. And pastor preached on hell. Scared me. I was afraid. I was very, very afraid. And at the time, the church there wasn't that old, and they had those metal chairs. And I grabbed that chair and standing up for closing when pastor was giving the altar call, and I'm grabbing that chair and I'm holding on for dear life. I'm holding on because, hey, I'm not going up there. Hey, I'm not going up there in front of all these people. You want me to go up there? And somebody in one ear is telling me I need to go up there. And someone else is telling me, say, hey, ain't going to do you no good. You stand right there. You stand right there. But the right ear won. I went for it. I asked Jesus Christ to save me because I know I couldn't save myself after I heard that message. And I asked him to save me. And pastor says, did he save you? I say, yes, he did. Because when I received Jesus Christ that Sunday morning, second Sunday in February, something happened, and it wasn't up here, because I still didn't know anything. I was still a dummy. Nothing happened up here. Happened here. I know that I was born again because it happened here. I was different. We have two services back then. This is the 80s. And Sunday evening, I went back to church. Why? Because I wanted to hear more. I wanted to hear more about this Jesus. And that Sunday evening, as he was leaving, just like y'all have here, we have tracks. And I took a handful of tracks. And the Monday morning when I went to work, I was passing our tracks. Like I said, I was saved. I know I was saved when it was here. Up here, I was still a dummy because I shouldn't have been passing out tracks at work during that time. But I didn't know that. See, because at the time, I didn't want to see anybody go to hell. Because hell is real. It is real. So I was just doing things because I didn't want to see anybody go to hell. Put it this way, I was on fire. I was on fire for the Lord. I mean, when I say on fire, I was on fire. Now, this is back, oh, gosh, 40-some years ago. I was on fire because of Matthew chapter 28. You see, as you grow, as you go, I'm going to start at verse 18. I'm going to read those last few verses that we all are familiar with. I want to see everybody get saved because of my Lord and Savior as we get into it, and my Heavenly Father, especially my Heavenly Father. Amen. Matthew 28, verse 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven. Go. Hey, when I first got saved, I thought maybe until I grow again, that wasn't for me. It wasn't telling me to go, but that was for the pastors, you know. That was for the assistant pastors. That was for the preachers, the teachers, you know. But as you get older, as you grow in the Lord, you understand that. No. Every born-again believer, he's telling to go. Go, therefore. Teach all nations. He said, well, I can't go to Africa or China or Japan. And we get to that. But he said, go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you. And lo, he says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. First got saved, I always remember that he's with me always. Again, I grew because I wanted to know more. Go to Bible study, Wednesday night service, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, because I wanted to know more and more, not only about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but my Heavenly Father. See, my Heavenly Father, God is, and again, it amazed me why he would use us, because he could have used Angel. He could have used any one or anything that he wanted to, but he chose to use you and I. As I began to grow in the Lord, we're not going to turn there, but in Genesis chapter 2, when God created man, God blew his breath into man, and man became a living soul. A living soul. And we are going to turn to this verse that I'm going to mention, but I don't think he's not going to put it up there. But we're going to turn to it. Man became a living soul. God wants us to not look at people. Because, see, I'll look at some people that I wouldn't even share the word of God with again until I began to grow. Because there's some people saying, I ain't going to mess with him because of the way he looks, because of the way he acts, because of what he's doing. So I'm not going to mess with this person, you see. But again, I'm ignorant up here. I'm ignorant. And then once you begin to get deeper into the Word of God, like I'm saying, going to Bible study, Isaiah, I would prefer if you would turn to this verse of Scripture, Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. This book, this Bible, and I love, you'll see my other Bible. I got a Bible that I need another one. I got two Bibles that I use at all time. I need another one because my Bible, I use it. It's raggedy. But that's good. I write in it. I write in it. Some folks don't want to write in it because they think they are messing up God's word. But when I known that God breathed in man and man became a living soul, in this verse, Ezekiel 18, verse 4, the Bible says, behold, all souls, the person who I said I wouldn't witness to, maybe dislike. When you read this verse, it says, all souls, you see, are mine. God said that all souls are his. So who am I? Who am I to pick the souls that I should witness to? Because we're looking at people, we can't see their, their soul and spirit, but we look at the outer appearance again, and God looks here. We look at the outward appearance of a man and say, he's in jail. What's he in jail for? Well, he killed somebody. He killed more than one person. Well, he should be there. He deserves it. And that might be true. And it is true. But again, God says, again, in verse 4, all souls are mine. Every living creature, he mentioned Hitler. I mentioned him before, not here, but I mentioned him. He mentioned he's Hitler. If he would accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he would be in heaven right now. I don't know if he did or not, but all souls belong to God. The soul of the Father, the soul of the Son is mine. But then we get to this last verse. This last phrase in the verse, the soul that sinneth, it should die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And again, that happened back in Genesis. Even though God created man and put him in his perfect place, and we may look back and say, how could he mess up like that? Perfect place. And God would come down every day and talk with them and walk with them in this place that is perfect. Perfect. And God says, and again, we might look back and say, I don't understand. Everything, you see, all this, all of these fruits, all these trees, no matter what, everything is yours. You can do what you want, but there's a tree there that don't eat the fruit of that tree. It's not that that fruit was nothing special about the fruit. Once you look back on it, it wasn't anything special about the fruit. Some people say it's apple, some people say it's an orange, some people say grape, no matter what the fruit was. God was telling them, saying that, look, you can do, but don't eat of this fruit because what you'll die. What happened if you do, you'll die. Matter of fact, he didn't say you will die. He said you will surely die. Even way back then, as we're going to continue on, there's always an adversary. There's always someone or something against God. So if this someone or something against God is going to be against you and I as well. So he convinced Eve to eat, and she gave it to her husband, and he eat, and they both surely die. They died. They didn't drop dead physically, but they surely died. And God did the sacrifice then, killed an animal and closed. Even back then, in Genesis, God said, look, I have to bring man back to me the way it was in the beginning. I'm gonna have to do something to bring man back to me because all these souls are mine, and these souls are sinners, just gonna die. And when Christ came on the scene, his only begotten Son, we know this verse of Scripture. We're not gonna turn there. We know this verse of Scripture. Everyone should know this verse of Scripture. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, everyone. He loves everyone the same. There's no up and down, there's no halfway, God loves everybody the same. Again, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus Christ died, but he didn't commit any sin for you and for me. So God says, when Christ died, Jesus Christ, again, said, look, I'm going to leave you now. This verse that we read in Matthew, he gave them to go out to go. He said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Because he's going to be not on you, but he's going to be in you to help you, because we're going to need help. We're going to need help walking through this world that we are in, especially today. The day the world is, bad. Getting worse. It's getting worse. Take your Bible and turn to Philippians. There's a couple of verses in there. And so my conclusion, and I'm not done, but my conclusion is that my Heavenly Father, his heartbeat is souls. See, his heartbeat is soul. He don't want to see any perish. That's why he gave us his Son. We, those of us again who are born again, those of us who are in Christ, we have a responsibility, because God ordered us. He commanded us, and he says his commandment is not grievous. It's not grievous. He commanded us to go. To go. Ephesians. Did I say Ephesians? Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 2, verses 13, but we're going to read all the way through 16. I mean, the word, if you take your time to read the word of God sometime, and just, if you only read a verse a day, you should read more, but only if you read a verse a day. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, for it is God, remember he's talking to those of us who have been born again, it is God that worketh in you. He's doing the work. He's working in me. You see, when I got saved, he started a good work in me. You see, and he's going to see it to completion. Not me, because I'll mess up again. I'm not that smart. I'll mess up. The Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. He saved us for himself, for his good pleasure, not ours. He didn't save us, right? Back in the day, back in the 80s, like, you know, Kodak was the place for you to work at Kodak. And Kodak was some of those people. God, you know, there's some people talk about Kodak. Just thank God. Where is Kodak today? For this God is working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless, harmless sons of God, with rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world, holding forth the word, this, the word of life. This is God's word of life. This is the Bible. This is the word of life. This Bible became flesh, and he walked among us. Jesus became flesh. The word of God became flesh, and he walked among us. You see, well, some 2,000 years ago, but he walked among us. There's a psalm that I can't sing, so I'm not going to sing it, but there's a psalm that says, hey, I wasn't there. When they nailed him to the cross, I wasn't there, but tell you what, I believe. I wasn't nowhere near 2,000 years ago, but guess what? You see, I believe. I believe. And as you, it's in John, but we're not going to turn either. The Bible says, this is the work that God got for you and I. The work that God got for you and I is to believe his son. That's the work that he has for you and I, to believe Jesus Christ. He physically walked the earth. Some did. Some didn't. Some followed. And some follow far off. You see, to believe him. We are without excuse. And we still in Ephesians, go to verse chapter 1 in Philippians. Chapter 1 in Philippians. Chapter 1, verse 6. Look at the words. When you read, you stop some time and just look at the words. The Bible says, being confident. Are you confident? When you start sharing the love of God with someone, are you confident what you're saying is true? Are you just talking because you're supposed to? Are you confident and you being confident in this very thing that God began a good work in me, he will perform it? He is doing, what are we doing? He's doing everything. He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit should be having a ball with you and I, doing what God purposed him to do. He's doing his part. He's doing his part. You and I just need to step back and let God have his way. Get out the way and let God have his way. He's our Father. He knows what's best for you and I. He has our best interests at heart. Do we trust him? You see, born again, but do we trust him? You see, got to be confident when you're sharing the word of God with someone. It's nice if you can share the word with someone and have your Bible with you, but a lot of times you won't have your Bible. But if you have your Bible, what I do is I let the person see, let the person read. I would take them to a verse of scripture and let them read them themselves. Then me talking, if I have my Bible with me. A lot of times, you're not going to have your Bible with you. That's why the Bible says we need to study. We need to get familiar, very familiar with the Word of God. You see, so we can share with others about the love of God. Because hopefully, we don't want to see anybody go to hell. We don't want to see no one spend an eternity, because God doesn't. God's not a respectable person. we might be at some times, but not God. You see, we again step back and say, Father, you go ahead and work. The Holy Spirit will work because the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. Turn to Acts chapter 27. This young man, I call him a young man, but I guess you would consider him an old man. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest man of God. But Acts chapter 27, now, there's a lot of people in the Bible that was confident in what they were saying and confidence in what they were doing. Chapter 27, go down to verse 22. The Apostle Paul. Verse 26, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, because there was turmoil at the sea, and the ship was being tossed to and fro, and they wasn't sure that they was going to make it to shore. But this man of God stood up and speak. He said, for now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve. Confidence. He said, hey, don't y'all worry. The angel of the Lord stood by me tonight, so you don't have to worry, because there's no life that's going to be lost. He was confident in what he was saying. You see, he wasn't, well, I'm hoping, you know, let's say a prayer, just hoping that maybe. No. He was confident in the fact. See, he was confident. We need to be confident when we open up our mouth to say anything, anything concerning God the Father, God the Son. See, we need to be confident, because folks can tell whether you're just putting words out. Are you sure what you're saying? Folks can tell. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all the men that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. Again, do we believe God? Do we believe God? God wants to use again his children to redeem souls. You can't save anybody. We understand that. But God has given us all the tools that we need, every tool that we need to open up our mouth and share Jesus Christ and him crucified with a lost and dying world. We can do it in front of a bunch of people. We can do it one-on-one. We can do it one-on-six. Doesn't matter. God has given us. He has given us all the tools that we need. And he's continued doing for you and I. He's continued giving us things. Take your Bible and turn to Psalms 34:22. I love the Psalms. Well, we're not going to stay in the Psalms, but Psalms 34:22. The Bible says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none that trust in him shall be desolate. Again, we need to understand that we are servants. You know, no matter what your position is, what your title is, we are servant. That's what I like about Paul. He always say servant first. Servant. You see, we are servants of the Most High. We're not to think highly of ourselves like some folks do. And some folks do think highly of themselves. You see, they do. They think highly of themselves instead of think highly of God after they're born again, the one who saved them. Let them work. The Bible says, again, what's so good about my Father? God is my Father. God is two things to me. He's my Creator, and when I got born again, now He's my Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Until I got to the point where He was my Lord and Savior. I know He was my Savior. Again, I'm not that smart. But now I know that He's my Lord and Savior. He wants to be Lord over my life, not just Savior. You see, He wants to be Lord. And He is my Lord and Savior. I don't know how much time do I have. Do I have until in the morning? When I see people walking out the door, I know it's time to shut down. I know it's time to shut down when people start walking out of the door. But there's some things that we must do. There's some things that we must use also. But things that we must use God's word. We must use the word of God. Look at how educated you are. And Paul was very educated. But he let the Lord say, look, now, I don't want you to think because I went to all these great school. No, I want to deliver to you the word of God. I want it to be in His power and in His might, not mine. Because you do have some people out there that are very, very smart. The education that they got, it'll blow your mind. I listened to a man once. He got so smart. He was saying, well, this is what God meant. I understand what God says, but this man was so smart. He said, this is what God meant. This is what He meant to say. He didn't meant to say that. This is what I say, holy moly, I can't listen to this guy. He's telling me what God meant to say when I know what God says because I got it right here in front of me. We have people who are smart that this is what God meant. We have to use this book because people's souls are in jeopardy. You see, the responsibility is people's soul. The responsibility is not up there for you to look good, sound good, or whatever. The responsibility of you to share the word of God so that people, the Holy Spirit, will get out there, take the word that you just sent forth and use that word on that person. That person will either say yeah or no. That's in my responsibility and your responsibility, man, because we can't save anybody. We want everybody to get saved. We understand that. We can't save anybody. But we can share with them the word of God. And we must use this book. We must use this book. 1 Corinthians. I'm going to speed up just a little. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This book is awesome. And again, this is the Apostle Paul, but look what he says. He says in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And again, these are probably some scriptures that we are very familiar with. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. He said, look, I delivered unto you first, which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Because that's what the word says. That's what the Bible says. According to the scripture. When you read the Bible, when it says according to the scripture, this must be done, why? According to the scripture. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. The scripture is being full right before I, according to the word of God. That's why it's important that we use the word of God. And so if you use the word of God, then we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Don't rely on us to convince someone. If you can convince someone to get saved, something is wrong. You need to allow the word of God to convince that person. So we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. Share with that person the love of God. Pray with that person. But don't convince the person. See, because you convince them, somebody can unconvince them. See, but once again, when the Holy Spirit comes in and the person is saved and the person is sealed, hey, something happened here. Knowledge is good. You need knowledge, but for some people, it puffed them up. You need it here. Why? That's what God looks. God looks at the heart. I don't care how smart you are, or how dumb you are. God doesn't care. He looks here. He looks here. John chapter 16. John 16. I love the Gospel of John. John 16. Let's go to verse 13. The Bible says, howbeit the Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you these things. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while you shall see me, and again a little while you shall see me, because I go to my Father. Let the Holy Spirit of God work in your life. Don't get tone deaf when the Holy Spirit is working. Don't pretend that you don't hear. See, a lot of us might pretend that, well, we don't hear. And we do hear. We're being disobedient. We want the Father to bless us. But he blesses us. Again, learn these things. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. He didn't bless us so we can say, oh, y'all, look at me. No, he blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. You see, the acronym, JOY. Jesus, others, and then you last. Me last. Jesus first, then others, and then me last. He blesses us so we can be a blessing unto others. He said, again, you love me? He said, keep my commandments. I want you to go out and share my son with others. Tell folks about the love of God, if you believe it. And you should, hopefully, because you're born again. I mean, you should want to tell folks. Everybody's not going to listen. Some folks, you must get angry with you. You give folks a track and they are taken and then they throw it on the ground. You have folks call you Jesus freak. You Jesus. You are them Jesus freak. Hey, sometimes we, because our skin is so thin, we take it. But it's not us. You see, they're not upset at us. It's him that they're upset on. You see, because they don't even know. There's something, and there really is something about the name of Jesus. You know, when I used to watch TV, especially way, way back in the days, like I watched TV, I never heard the name of Jesus mentioned on any of the program that comes on. They talk about God, though. Oh, they mentioned God. This is a Christian program, but nobody said Jesus. Nobody said Jesus. Why? Because there's something about the name. There's power in the name of Jesus. And these folks, it's Hollywood or whatever you want to call it, they know, some of them know that, and that's why they won't say, because there's power. They don't want to change because they know there's power in the name of Jesus. You see, there's power in Jesus' name. Again, you're going to have hindrance. Satan tried to hinder Paul. Satan is going to try to hinder you and I. Whatever devices that he can come up with, he's going to get something and throw it in the, some people call it the monkey wrench, just throw it in there to mess things up. Just throw it in there to get you off track. Throw it in there so your mind wouldn't be thinking on the things of the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those things that we so need of, you know, he said, those things be added unto you. You see, seek my kingdom. You see, thy kingdom come. My kingdom has to go. God's kingdom has to come. God, you know, as I, Luke 15 and 10, you don't have to turn there. But I read Luke 15 and 10, I wrote it down myself. The Bible says in Luke 15 and 10, there's joy. There's joy in heaven over one, not a thousand or a million, over one sinner that come to repentance. They are having a good old time. Why? Because someone repented and turned from and turned to the living God, put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And they start partying up there. I mean, they start having a good old time up there. I only got two more scriptures that I'm going to go to because, again, if I go to them all, we might be here until in the morning. You will be walking out. But Romans, another good, great book. I used to tell people, oh, that's my verse. That's my verse. Wait a minute, the whole Bible should be your verse. I know, but at this moment, that's my verse. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2 is my verse, my favorite verse. And no one else can have Romans 12, 1 and 2 because I claim Romans 12, 1 and 2 for myself. We won't go there tonight. But let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. So I'm not ashamed of this book. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not. The power of God. It's the power of God. In my verse, we're not going to turn in. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Hey, God just want to use this body, a living sacrifice. He said, that's my reasonable service. I mean, it's not, he didn't give you something hard to do. He said, that's your reasonable service. And if that's my reasonable service, and we end with Romans 8, Romans 8, I mean, what? I mean, the Bible is just, ooh. I mean, yes, you can't. You just can't go wrong. If you do everything the Bible says, you never go wrong if you do everything the Bible says. And I understand we have, again, an adversary. And I understand one of our biggest adversaries is not Satan. For me, anyway, this big adversary that I have is this. This here. This flesh of mine. Never satisfied. Never. Your flesh is never satisfied. My flesh is never satisfied. One more time, he says, my flesh, and I will leave you alone. You just do this for me, just this once, Hey, I wouldn't bother you no more. You can go on your merry way. No. Mm-mm, not this. Why? Because it's weak. God tell us, this thing is weak. 31, let's go in verse 31. The Bible says, what shall we say at the end of these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? Hey, if God is for us, who can be against us? No one. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay things, anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God to justify. I'm justified because God said I'm justified. Who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God now, make his intercession for us? Because Satan is going up there accusing you. Every time you think, do something wrong, go up there and say, hey, look what he did. God looks down and says, oh, I don't see him. All I see is my son. Why? Because my life is hid in God. My life is hid in him. He can go up there and accuse me all he wants. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that rose again, who even sits at the right hand of God, who also make an intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the life of Christ? My Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And I only name a few things there. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword? The Bible says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He said, no or nay, in all these things. And there are more. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Why? Why? Because I'm persuaded. You see, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, or vice versa, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Nothing, no one can separate you and I from the love of God. God just says, go. Well, I don't know about that neighborhood. They got some rough people there, too many shootings. You know, now the Bible always tells us now that we should use wisdom. No? The Bible doesn't tell us to act like a fool, but the Bible tells us to use wisdom. But the worst thing that can happen to you, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? The worst thing that can happen to you, you get shot and you get killed. That's the worst thing that can happen to you, but actually that's the best thing. Because the worst thing, which is the best thing, to be absent from this body is to be where? Present with the Lord. Amen. See, present with the Lord. So when we tell or when we talk to people, we need to be confident of what we are saying. We need to be a confidence of what is coming out of this mouth. That is what's coming out of this mouth. You see, the word of God. You can't go wrong. You won't go wrong. If you use the word of God. But when you start relying on yourself, trouble. Amen. Trouble. Let's pray. Amen. Father, I come before you once again, thanking you, Father, for your word. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that work in me to bring to remembrance things that I needed to remember and things that I didn't need to remember that I didn't say. I thank you, Father, for your word. And your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word, absolute. Your word is true. Father, your word is life. Your word is life. So, Father, I thank you for your word. Your word saved, Father. Your word healed. Your word does everything that I need for myself. I need to be obedient to the word of God. We need to be obedient to the word of God. Do what the Bible says. He wants us just to be hearers, which is good, but he wants us also to be doers of his word. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a blessing when we are doers of the word of God. Thank you once again, Father, for this time. Bless us as we leave this place. Keep us safe. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.